Welcome back into the Views from the Other Side podcast. Derek Peterson here, Craig Smith joining me again. This is the third week that we've been doing this. We're doing a early off-season preview of the 2018 Huskers, and we're in week three. Greg, how you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm tired. I was supposed to do this earlier in the morning, and I've set my day back by sleeping in.
Listen, every once in a while, you deserve some sleep.
It was worth it, though, because I got to watch the Thunder last night, so, and not have to work.
I don't want to hear about Russell Westbrook.
So, if you haven't been following this, this is week three of the four-part preview that we're doing. Week one, we looked at quarterbacks and wide receivers. Last week, we looked at safeties and corners. I just blanked for a second. Safeties and corners last week. This week, we are hitting on running backs in the offensive line. This will be the most interesting one for me. Yeah. I was kind of thinking of how we should start this and how we should just kind of go right into it. And I thought maybe we could dive into it and just start talking running backs. I thought maybe, you know, we could do a recruiting update. We could talk about Nebraska basketball because they're doing really well right now. I could offer you my condolences on the dream of Paul George to the Lakers dying.
Oh, man. That hurts. Too soon. Too soon.
But I think that there is an important thing that we need to discuss before we get into this podcast.
Okay.
And this is weird, but I think if we're going to have a professional relationship and it's going to work moving forward, I think this is something that we need to get on the table. We just need to be honest and open and work through this.
Okay. I'm nervous.
Why do you not like the Justin Timberlake's new songs?
They're not good.
They're very good.
They are what I lovingly refer to as trash juice. They are very bad. I'm going to give you what ends up being a great analogy and example because I hold this person in extreme high esteem. Kanye West frustrates me right now because his music stinks, right? Because I miss the old Kanye. It's now getting to the same point with this particular CD with Justin Timberlake. I miss the old JT, you know, who had his beats made by Pharrell and Timberland and those guys. I miss that. Like, miss me with the Mountain Man Wood stuff. Like, I don't need all that. Bring back I Just Want to Love You or the 2020 Experience, Justified, that CD. Like, bring that back. I don't need this. Sorry.
To be fair, Pharrell worked with him on this entire studio album.
Oh, it doesn't seem like it.
Well, he was on supplies. Okay, here's the thing. You said that they're getting worse. I feel like they're getting better because Filthy was trash.
Okay.
Supplies is probably my favorite. And then Say Something felt like it was an incomplete song, but anytime you get Chris Stapleton on it and you're jamming on a guitar with him, that's really good.
See, that's not my jam. Like, I get that. Like, and see, it's one of those weird things where there's no real good reason that I'm not a huge fan of Chris Stapleton because I think he's a talented musician. But for some reason, it's just not working for me. I need to go back out in all honesty and re-listen to Supplies. I listened to it once, hit the X, and then ran away. So we'll see. Maybe I'll give it another shot if that one's your favorite.
It has the greatest beat of maybe any of on the last, like going back to 2020. Like, I love the beat on it. But like, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and artists get accused all the time of having the exact same sounding music on every single album. And Justin has had a different sound on every studio album that he's made.
Yeah.
Justified sounded really NSYNC-y, and then he had Future Sex Love Sounds that sounded,
which I love,
Future. Yeah, that was really good. And then he had 2020, which was a complete departure from Future Sex Love Sounds.
I thought that was the height of his powers.
Right, it was there. So good.
Okay. But that, we're in agreement there.
Yeah, that was the best. That's the best one. And that, but that was always going to be hard to top.
Which is why he should have stayed retired.
No! No. New away. Justin Timberlake music is better, infinitely better, than listening to 2020 for the 8 billionth time.
Nah, I went back and listened to it for the 9th billionth time yesterday because I couldn't take it.
Okay, I listened to the entire thing yesterday.
Okay.
And Future Sex Love Sounds and Justified because I'm on full-on JT kick right now.
Okay.
I'm happy that it's happening.
You'll just have to enjoy that concert without me.
It'll be fun.
Will it?
Okay, I was listening to the preview, the little behind the scenes thing that he put out where he was demoing some of the new sounds or teasing some of it, and some of the songs have good beats. Like, I'm excited.
Well, I mean, I will listen to them. I'm not saying I'm not going to give them a shot, but right now they are trending down.
Oh, man, that just makes me sad. Okay, let's just get into it then. Recruiting update on Maurice Washington, big, big, huge Husker target. You're sighing as I bring him up. Let's hear it.
It only because it's been frustrating to follow his recruitment. I can only imagine what it is for the fans out there to be able to follow this, because one day he can't qualify and it feels like he's JUCO bound. The next day, his coach is saying that he's got a 4.0 GPA and a qualifying ACT score. The next day, he's going to Ohio State because that's his dream school. But then he goes to Arizona State for a visit, and all of a sudden now there's talks that they're the leader. And then it turns out yesterday, to get you caught up in a quick way, yesterday I get a text from a source saying, hey, the coaches that are in this high school right now, they're going to move the visit up to this weekend off of February 2nd. Okay, great. I report that. And then a few hours later, it turns out that they couldn't get his mom's flight from California to Nebraska settled in time. So they will keep the visit for next week. So he goes to high school at Cedar Hill High School. In Texas, just outside of Dallas. His mom lives in California, so they got to figure that out with the flights. So right now, the plan is for that to happen next weekend, February 2nd. Nebraska will get the last shot with him. And then also, they will have Scott Frost go in school next week at his high school and go in home with him as a setup to get towards that February 2nd visit.
Okay, so remind me real fast, because there are multiple games and I get confused on which one. He was Under Armour
He was the MVP of the Under Armour All-American game.
And he looked really, really good.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He had a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown. He had a great game.
And that his recruitment really has kind of blown up since the early signing period ended. I'll just ask you bluntly, is it a major deal if they miss out on him?
So it's difficult because yes and no is the correct answer. It's not the best answer, but it's complicated. I do not think that it destroys the recruiting class if they don't get him, considering they already have Greg Bell. But I do think that it adds some accelerant to what they're trying to do on offense. It does not feel like Nebraska staff is coming in here with a 3-year plan to get this thing ramped up. They want to do it as soon as possible. They want to hit the ground running. He helps them if they can get him on the team to get that right. But I also don't see it. But then on the other hand, I don't know the status going forward of Tre Bryant. I don't know, and we'll talk about this more in detail in a little bit. I don't know how well Wilbon and Ozigbo fit into the offense. I don't know how much of a step Jalen Bradley will take. There are a lot of bodies. Like, we just rattled off a good amount of guys. But I think that Maurice Washington has a chance to be a special back, and you don't want to turn down guys that you think could end up being special.
That's one of my biggest, the things that annoys me the most about in recruiting is when guys choose not to come to like a particular school. The fan base for that program is like, oh, well, we don't need him. Like, you always want talent.
Oh yeah, you always want talent. And that's exactly what would happen if he did not end up at Nebraska. Say he goes to Arizona State, and it seems like it's Nebraska or Arizona State, because he also will not be visiting anywhere this weekend, which is a great sign for Nebraska too.
Suck it, Urban Meyer.
Yes. So Urban Meyer. But Urban, that was a weird one. Ohio State recruited him as a defensive back. And they were trying to sell him on, hey, we've put all these defensive backs in the NFL, which they have. Like, you can't dispute that. But then their defensive back coach turns around and leaves for the Tennessee Titans, and that destroyed that. They canceled the visit immediately after that. There was no reason for him to try and pursue that any longer. So that's okay. Too bad, Urban.
Can I say that publicly?
What?
Suck it, Urban Meyer?
Probably.
Can I say that on the podcast?
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm going to go with it. So we already touched on Greg Bell. We already mentioned Tre Bryant, Mikael Wilbon, Jalen Bradley, Divine Ozigbo. Is it bad if Greg Bell is the only guy in this class? Do they need more? Because they've offered more guys, and they're obviously going after Washington. When you look at Wilbon and Ozigbo are both entering senior years, mm-hmm. Is it bad if Greg is the only guy that they've got coming in?
I don't think that it's a deal breaker, but then again, if they didn't land Maurice Washington, I think they're landing Tayshaun Henry, who's on a visit this weekend to Texas Tech, went to Oregon State last weekend, is scheduled to come to Nebraska next weekend as well. Like, I think they're going to take another running back in this class. Like, I don't think, unless something crazy happens here down the stretch, I think they're taking another one. It's probably going to be Washington. I don't think it would be a backbreaker for the class, but it'd be more of a luxury at this point. But you also have to look at the history of Scott Frost and how they utilize running backs as well, and they like to utilize a lot. Mm-hmm. So that could be another reason. And they need more speed. Like, there's just, say what you will about however people feel about the different running backs already on Nebraska's roster, and there are wide ranging of opinions on who likes who. And you saw that throughout last year, as somebody was the different flavor of the week all the time, and everybody had their guy. But you can say definitively there's a lack of speed in that room.
Yeah. I feel like as the season wore on, Divine Ozigbo, and not to take anything away from him because he played really well, but I feel like he became like a folk legend.
He did. There's always that guy. Like, you've learned that quickly covering this team, that is going to continue to happen. Every season, there's someone like that in the spring, and there's someone like that during the season. I think it just happens.
And in the spring, it was Wyatt Mazur.
Yes, it was. Who everyone now has just forgotten about. Like, he doesn't exist anymore.
I'm curious if he gets to see some time.
He's going to stay healthy. He has a hard time. He's had a hard time staying healthy at his time in Nebraska.
Yeah. So You kind of touched on it. Central Florida used a lot of backs. Everybody got a lot of touches. There wasn't a one down or one guy every down back like Nebraska tried to start with last year. Mm-hmm. Do you see a guy like Greg Bell becoming an every down back in this offense with this team, or is it going to be similar to what they did at Central Florida, where you've got Jalen in on one play, you've got Greg Bell in on one play, you've got Trey Bryant, maybe if he's healthy. We're curious what's going on with him.
I think that it will be that rotation, because I just think that that's the way that they like to utilize those guys. Though I would be curious to see if you get a fully healthy Trey Bryant and then you have Greg Bell, and I think that he's a really good back. I think that he could be very good and have a big impact year one. Could those two be kind of your two main guys? Think back to that the Oregon years, right? Where they always seem to have a guy like DeAnthony Thomas or Thomas Tyner, like guys like that, that got a good amount of carries, but you always had a secondary guy as well. Then you had that slot back guy too. So could that be Maurice Washington if he commits, or Miles Jones, who's already in the class? Like, you could see something like that. But then again, that leaves out probably three or four guys that we've already mentioned. But I do think that it'll be some sort of rotation. Like, you're not going to see, in my opinion, one guy get 200 carries. Like, you're not going to, I think it's going to be hard pressed to see that. And I think the only guy that would be able to do that would be a fully healthy Trey Bryant, who I think could be awesome in this offense if he's fully healthy. We just don't know.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I don't think a Nebraska back got 200 carries last year.
Yeah, so then we definitely won't see it.
I don't think it's going to happen. So if they're running with Greg Bell, Trey Bryant, Maurice Washington,
Assuming
he's in the class, or if not, a guy like Miles Jones or Jalen Bradley, who becomes between, we'll say Bradley, Wilbon, and Ozigbo, the guys that got the bulk of the carries last year, who becomes the guy that's just going to kind of fall off the map a little bit this season?
I think naturally you say Divine Ozigbo, because just looking at him, it doesn't feel like he fits the offense. But I did a little research, and apparently in high school, they ran more of a spread offense. They had some spread in his offense in high school, so he's done that before. I just can't see how he fits into this offense, because he's also the least natural pass catcher of all of the guys that we've talked about. And I think that having that threat and being able to motion a guy from the slot into the backfield or vice versa to make you have that threat of he's going to go out for a pass as well, I think it's really important in this offense. So I just don't see how he fits, and I feel like he's the odd man out in this situation.
I like Wilbon. I think Wilbon gets a chance because he worked on pass catching a lot last year. He worked on route running a lot. He worked on some of those option routes where he can kind of pick and choose what he does based on what he sees, and he got better at that. And he's quick. My voice just did something weird. Do, as a whole, does that room need to be better because they were awful last season running the ball? Do they need to be better, or is it kind of a give and take with the offensive line, or is it just all on the offensive line?
The real answer probably is there's a give and take, but if I had to pick one thing to improve, I would say just improve the offensive line. Typically, if you've got a monster offensive line blowing holes open, even the most average running backs end up looking good, right? And I think that they have a better than average collection of talent now at the running back position. So if you get that offensive line going, I think that'll help out a lot. But I think the scheme helps them too. If you think about how spread out things are going to be, and I, And this is going to sound so crazy to say, because to some people, they've been yelling this since since the time Mike Riley took over. And for some people like me, it really didn't click in until the end of his time, is that Mike Riley's offense was just naturally designed to load the box, right? Like, you just naturally had a lot of bodies in that way. And it's the exact opposite for the Scott Frost offense, right? So if you're playing the numbers game and you now have the quarterback as a run threat too, whether or not it's Tristan Jebby or Martinez, and it depends on how mobile those guys are, but he's at least a threat, you have to account for that guy. And now that's another person to look out for. Like, your space is just so much greater than it was before. So that should naturally open up more running lanes, in theory.
It's going to be Patrick O'Brien. Come on, don't tease people. It's not going to be Martinez. It's not going to be Tristan
Jebby. After all of this offseason of everybody assuming that we've got a Jebby, Adrian Martinez battle, of course it's going to end up being Patrick O'Brien.
I can't wait until that first game, running out of the tunnel, Nebraska runs out on the field against Akron, and Andrew Bunch is the starting quarterback.
Do you think, side note, do you think that we'll know before that first game?
Yeah.
You think that Frost will let us know?
Yeah, I think we'll know. I think we'll know.
Curious to see how that goes.
I think we'll know. Because he was a little, I've heard people describe him as a little prickly early in his career. Yeah. He's kind of mellowed out a little bit as he's going on. I think we'll know. Okay. As long as nobody pisses him off beforehand, and that's...
We'll see how that goes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that might be asking too much. Yeah. Let's play a game.
Okay. I like games.
Yeah. This is not going to be a fun game, though.
Oh.
I've got numbers.
Oh, God.
I'm going to... list them off for you, and I want you to guess where they rank nationally among everyone. FBS.
So out of 126? 130. Okay.
Okay. So yards per game.
Like offensive yards per game?
Rushing yards
per
game.
Oh, rushing.
These are just rushing numbers.
Okay.
So rushing yards per game.
Rushing yards per game out of 130. I'm going to say 116th.
No. I'll give you two guesses.
110th.
No. You went... Yeah, they're 120th in yards per game last
year. I tried to give them a little benefit of the doubt. Okay. It's not good.
It was at 107.5 yards per game.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a bold prediction right now before we get to any of the rest of these. That will be close to double next year.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be much, much better.
Also, part of the reason they had such few yards per game is because of the next number, attempts per game. Where you put them at?
I put them at 100th.
No.
110th.
No. 122nd.
Really?
31 carries a game.
It feels like there was more. This is going to, I feel like, be a theme, but I feel like that's going up as well, just because naturally they're going to run more plays.
And
that's the most duh statement ever, but yes, they're going to run a lot more plays than that.
Touchdowns.
Oh, boy. Okay, I think that this one is going to... No.
They had that stretch where they went like 5 games without scoring a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, so let me... 128th.
No, they're actually better in this one. 107th.
Okay.
I didn't give you your second
chance. Get out of 100s.
13 touchdowns in 12 games rushing the ball. And I think Trey had like 2 or 3 in the first game of the season.
Yeah, in that first... That's not good.
No, it's not good. Okay, yards per carry...
Gonna say they were 109th.
You're close.
Uh-oh.
But no.
111th.
Wow, really close. 112th.
Oh, that was close.
They averaged 3.5 yards a pop.
That's not gonna get it done.
No.
Like, I feel like every time we do these numbers, it feels like this is why they were 4-8.
Yeah. Brandon Vogel shared something in Slack yesterday about like the first down defense or something like that. And you made the comment like every time someone takes a deep dive in the numbers, it just looks worse and worse.
It does every single time.
Okay, let's move to this is gonna be fun. 20 plus yard gains on the season.
Out of 128th?
No.
125th.
They're 110th.
It's better than I thought.
They had 10.
But that's awful.
10
Do you happen to have the number for UCF? I feel like we looked that up one day for something else.
So I did a story on this earlier in the season. Let me try to find it. Because Central Florida's rushing was so much better than Nebraska's. I've got the number right here. Okay, so this isn't really answering what you asked, but... In terms of explosive runs, so 10-plus yard carries, Central Florida matched Nebraska's season total for explosive runs with 12 minutes left in the second quarter of their 7th game.
Yikes.
bad.
That's really bad. But yeah. But the return of that to Nebraska's offense would be so great. It would just be amazing for what they could do. And that would take a ton of pressure off of whoever your new quarterback is going to be, whoever it ends up winning this job. You're going to need to take pressure off them. That running game, getting to that point, I don't know if it's going to quite get there, but getting closer to that would help a lot.
Well, and it's a give and take too, because I think that Nebraska is going to be more successful throwing the ball. They're not going to be turning it over as much. They're going to be more explosive throwing the ball, and I think that helps the running game too.
I do.
This, we'll get back to our numbers game in a second, but here's another one for you. Nebraska had 25 yards or more on a single run twice this season. Central Florida did it 13 times.
Make it easier on your offense to score with the explosive plays. You're not having to do the slow drip down the field.
Yeah. And that two and both of those gains went 30. Mm-hmm. 123rd in the country in.
We should keep that stat about the 25 and 30 yard gains and see how long it takes Nebraska this season to eclipse that. Because I'm going to guess.
Over under on like six games?
I'm going to guess before conference play.
Three games in? You think they have?
More? I think they're going to run up some points on those in those first couple of games. That Akron game and whoever else is
Colorado.
On the schedule in the beginning. Yeah, because Colorado's taking a step back from a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think they're going to put some points up.
Just not a big fan of Colorado.
No, that either.
I've been told that my car's going to get keyed when we go to Colorado. 2 years from now.
That's
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, take your Nebraska license plate off.
I still have my Oklahoma license plate on.
Okay, good.
I haven't gotten rid of that baby.
Well, I don't know. In 2 years, you might have to change.
I might have to do it. Yeah. If people are listening, I'm gonna get in trouble.
Yes, you are. Edit.
Okay, 100. Well, I'm not gonna tell you that stuff rate. So this is a metric that Football Outsiders uses, and it's when. I think 5 yards are available on any given run play, and they don't get back to the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
Where do you think they rank at of the 130 teams?
That's a great number. I'm going to say 121st.
102nd. Oh. 17.5% of all of their carries last season gained 0 yards.
Wow.
You
just make it so difficult on yourself. Like, and I feel like a broken record with that, but it's just like, and we know this because we watched the games. But how little they scored, relatively speaking, especially considering coming into last year, the offense was supposed to be the backbone of the team, and supposed to carry them as they made that defensive transition. But boy, it was
which
bad.
Is the reason they made the defensive
right,
transition.
Which is why they made it, because they thought that they'd be able to have that offense really humming, and boy, did that not work out.
Let me double down on that. That means 17.5%. That means that on any given run, when you're looking at percentages and likelihoods of things happening, they were more likely to get 0 yards than they were to get a first down on any given time they handed the ball off.
That's not good.
That's not good at all. 44% total, 44% of their runs had 2 yards or less. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, it's a good way to end it.
Moving to the offensive line, then, because I think we're both in agreement that they've got to be a whole hell of a lot better for them to improve in the running game. They've only got one offensive line commit so far in this class, and that's Will Farniok. So it feels like they're just banking on internal improvement then. Is that the right way to go?
Well, they still got a couple of guys out that they may get commitments from. Three-star offensive lineman Jarrett Bell from California, who can play really any of the three positions on the line. I think he projects more as a guard. There's another three-star true offensive tackle in Willie Canty, who's scheduled to be in the last weekend as well. Hamilton Hall, another guy out of Georgia. So I don't know if they're done. I think they end up taking one more offensive lineman in this class. But even with that, your question is still the same. Like, they still probably end up banking more on internal improvement, and I don't think that that's wrong. Like, I have had I don't know how many discussions, we'll call them, with fans, Husker fans, about this very topic. Nebraska has 14 now that Nick Gates has left. Well, back to 15, including Will Farniok, who's already on campus. 15 scholarship offensive linemen on this team.
They got bodies.
You have got to be able to mold some of those guys to get your five best players so that you can have a serviceable offensive line. Like you, and it's not as if we're talking about a room full of reaches from the previous recruiting staffs either. Like we're talking about a good amount of four-star or high three-star guys that just need to be what I always call leveled up. Like they need to be developed and get to another level to improve their play. Like you have to have that happen.
We saw good stretches from Matt Farniok last year, especially before the injury happened. He was pretty decent at Oregon. I mean, he had rookie moments, but he was decent at Oregon. Brendan Hymus played well. Who takes Nick Gates' spot? You think Hymus moves over to the left tackle?
I do think that Brendan Hymus goes over to the left tackle. And then I would have Farniok as my right tackle. And then another young player that I would love to see take that starting spot and run, if he's healthy, because remember he got injured at the end of the season as well, towards the end, Michael Decker. Yep. I would love to see him at that center spot. And then that leaves you the guards where they're going to have Foster and Farmer back in those guard spots. What happens with Bo Wilson? Like we saw him make some impact on some weird H-back fullback plays towards the end of the season. Is he in the mix? There's a whole host of guys, but I feel like my hesitance though on the situation that I just laid out with that starting five is that that's very similar to last year.
Yep.
That makes me nervous just because I just don't know how you end up rolling the exact same five out there as you did last year with a fresh set of eyes coming, you know, with this staff. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that gives me pause about that particular five that I named.
I think you get Hymus at left tackle. I guess we'll just go through the line. I think you get Hymus at left tackle. I think you get Gerald Foster at left guard. I think that's a given. I hope that Michael Decker is the center. I hope it's not Cole Conrad. And not to say anything bad about Cole Conrad, but Decker is the better center.
And he's got the bigger upside for the future. And it's not as if, it, you know, as I always say, it's easier for us to sit here and say, yeah, play the young guy with upside. Mm-hmm. But excuse me, it's not as if there's a huge gap in their play right now. And you could argue strongly that Decker is the better player right now.
Well, he was. He was the better player last
year.
He won
the job, so he was the better player.
Right guard. I mean, is it going to be Tanner Farmer again just because he'll be a senior?
Yeah, maybe. That's the spot that I'm kind of I have the biggest question on because I wonder if Bo Wilson makes a push. Like, I just don't understand how he's a guy to me that I've been waiting to see break out, and he should be like one of the top guys that's really excited about this change and should become best friends with Greg Austin because I think that he could be a guy that really gets a starting spot at that right guard spot.
Yeah, and he's a name that I forgot, but I mean, Christian Gaylord, Jalen Barnett jumped to mind. You mentioned it. They just got a new, fresh set of eyes on them. And I think that that's going to help some of the younger guys.
Matt Sichterman. Like, there's a lot of guys in there.
So we'll leave a question mark there because that's the one that I don't know about either. Mm-hmm. Right guard. And then right tackle, Farniok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. And actually, if you think about it, now we spin it forward a little bit. If you have some sort of combination where you have Farniok and Hymus at your tackles, you have Decker at the center, and Bo Wilson is just in the mix. Let's not even say he's starting. That's, what, three underclassmen that you end up getting significant snaps on your offensive line to where hopefully with development in a year or so, you flip it to where that offensive line is a real strength of your team and you really have yourself the makings of an upper echelon Big Ten offensive line. Like that's the hope of where this is going if those guys can develop.
And let's kind of scale it back for a second because I think right now there's a lot of excitement and I've kind of been victim to this a little bit too. There's a lot of excitement around the recruiting class and how quickly he's built that up and kind of just all the excitement around the program. This is not going to be like an 8-win team next year. This is going to be like a 6-win team, right?
I don't know. And I'm not really sighing because I think that you're wrong. I could see that. I could see Nebraska winning 5 games next year, as of right now, and I could see them winning 8. It just kind of depends
with the schedule
on how. See, and that's the schedule and the quarterback situation. Like, I feel like this defense can be quickly improved. Now, there's not any other way that they could really go but up from where they were last year. But I think that defense has talent on it. You just got to figure out the bodies. And in particular, like, I'm really excited to see what happens with that linebacking core led by Will Honus. So I think that they're going to be really good. But that offense and what happens with the quarterback spot, I think, will be the big determining factor on whether or not they win 5 or 8 games. Like, I did not could see any scenario in there. But I don't think, but I do agree with your premise that we do need to temper expectations a little bit and not go out saying, hey, they're going to win 8 games next year and shock the world, and then they're going to go undefeated in year 2. Like, I don't know that we should be letting that roll out there. But I think it's a bowl game is your realistic thing that you're looking at here, especially considering you could have a true freshman or a redshirt freshman quarterback starting for your team.
They're going to go undefeated in year 3.
Okay.
Not 2, 3.
Okay.
And that's the year they play Oklahoma and they travel to Norman.
Oh, I would love to see that. I got to make my plans to get. I cannot wait for that, because we could, especially if what has got to happen is Nebraska has to be on the upswing. Oklahoma stay where they are, though I wouldn't mind them taking a step back, but then they can stay where they are just until that game. And then that would be a massive game, because think about all the storylines with the old rivalries, the guys that Nebraska lost from this class and ended up there.
Like, Bookie.
Yes, that there's going to be that'd be a really, really interesting game.
It'll be fun. Kyler is going to be good, though. You don't. Like, he's not Baker, but Kyler's going to be good.
He'll be good.
He can sling it.
But at that point, you'll have. Like,
I'm going to get in trouble if we keep
Casey
talking
Rogers
about
Rodgers and Tate Wildeman coming after him, and Damian Daniels and DeAndre Thomas all in your front four. Like, yeah, you'd have a That's guy true. Thomas on the outside, Avery Roberts. Like, if you get some guys going here,
Ben Stilley will be a senior at that point and an All American, and
that's right,
battling for the Lombardi Award.
See, I thought we said we were reigning.
We're getting
in.
So far ahead of ourselves. Yes. This is a building year. It's not a rebuild. This is a building.
That's a great
year.
Way to put it.
This is getting set, because the schedule is brutal. That's how I see it. The schedule is brutal. 2019 gets easier. 2020, 2021 feels like the years where everybody's saying he's going to take them to a national championship, a Big Ten championship, yada, yada, yada. Those are the years where that's probably going to start becoming in the conversation of expectations or maybe ceilings.
Especially with an upperclassman quarterback that has experience, yeah.
Yeah, but this year in particular, especially on the offensive line, will be a building year to me, it feels like, because of what happened last year.
Pouring the concrete.
But I also think, that's a really good way to put it, pouring the concrete. I also think that just the new offense, the scheme, the style is going to help the offensive line maybe look better than it should be.
Yes, because if you have better technique with this style of play, your offensive line, I think, naturally looks better. Like, there's very few, like, just thinking about Oregon, because we all watched a lot of those Oregon teams. They were on TV all the time when Chip was there, and then Helfrich and Frost was up there as well. Like, you can't name a lot of those offensive linemen. You won't be able to name very many UCF offensive linemen from the last couple of years, but they played well as a unit. And I think that you can end up having that same thing here, maybe a little bit better, because I think you have better access to bigger bodies in this area. Like, this region should be able to produce you some better offensive linemen.
I also think this staff is going to be a little bit better at maximizing or getting the most out of the players that they have.
It's one of their calling cards, so hopefully that's one of those huge things that you hope carries forward, because it's what these guys have been doing for most of their careers.
You touched on linebackers earlier. We're going to get to them next week. We're going to talk linebackers and defensive line next week. That's going to be fun.
I'm excited.
They got some talent on that front
seven. We talked about bodies. That was the theme coming in with this offensive line. There's a lot of bodies in that front seven that you can mix and match and try and get going. Maybe another one being added here in the next couple of days. Like, I like that a lot. I think that's going to be good.
So if you missed us talking about corners and safeties, that was last week. I'll put the link in the description on site. You can go listen to that. We talked quarterbacks and wide receivers first week, 2 weeks ago. That was, felt like so long ago.
It does feel like forever.
I'll link in the description below for that one, and you can go listen to that. Keep it with Hail Varsity through the weekend. It's not going to be a crazy recruiting weekend.
Well,
as much as next weekend will
be. No, next weekend will be bigger, because you'll have some bigger names. You've got 3 guys this week. Dominic Watt, who's already a commit, 3-star wide receiver, 3-star athlete Cam Taylor, and 3-star quarterback prospect, who's also an athlete, Matthew Tago. The numbers crunch is starting to get interesting, because I'm now a little bit curious as to if Matthew Tago is an automatic take in this class. If you think about it, just how things are setting up, if tomorrow, right? Cameron Jones. Wow, just blank. Cameron Jones out of Mansfield, Texas, four-star safety, decides if he pops for Nebraska, that's one spot left. Jarrett Bell that we talked about earlier, if he commits, that's another. And then Maurice Washington, that's three guys, which then takes you to 22 commits. 18 if you, or 21 if you're not counting Masri Maipiu, defensive tackle out of York, who I think will end up at Iowa Western.
Okay, I got to ask you, should people count him? Because I don't know what's going on with him. You think a community college?
Yeah, I think he ends up at Iowa Western at this point. Junior college, yeah. It'll be difficult, I think, at this point for him to get in. So if you say that that's 21, Nebraska's probably looking at 22, 23 guys that they're trying to take in this class. That leaves a whole host of guys, including two of the visitors this weekend, left out there looking, fighting for a couple of spots. And that's before you get to Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who is an absolute take. If he commits, and I expect him to, Nebraska will absolutely take him. Tyon Palmer, cornerback, we were talking about corners, he's an absolute take. So then if those two also get in, you're out of spots, basically. So we've got an interesting numbers crunch going on where I don't know that it's the slam dunk anymore that Nebraska takes the second quarterback in this class. That was a long way to say that.
It's interesting, kind of the timeline of this, where we've gone from losing everybody and this class falling apart.
Yeah, where they were ranked 94th when Joshua Moore left the class.
And we're like a month removed from that, and they're a top 25. Are they in the top 25 now?
Yep.
Yeah, they're a top 25 class, and running out of scholarships to offer people.
Yes.
It's a good problem to have.
It is.
Especially
with probably should write something on that, right? Because you look confused. Like, I probably need to sit down and write all of that out so that we
can. I'm not confused. I'm just trying to talk through it. Don't put me on blast like that.
It's fine. Sorry. I had to get you back for the Paul George thing.
How about them Lakers? He's not coming.
I was laying in the weeds waiting for that.
He's not coming.
He's gone.
No, he's not. Okay. He loves Russ.
He'd be the first one besides his wife. And
oh, my goodness. Did you see what Scott Brooks said yesterday?
No.
So somebody asked him about like coming back to Oklahoma City and if he expected the big reception that he got.
Yeah.
And his response was, well, I'm the only one that didn't want to leave. And I was like, oh, nice. My God.
Nice. I like it. Points for Scott Brooks. He can't design any plays, but props for him.
I don't think that's Scott Brooks' fault. I think his team is just not very good right now. They're so bad. Greg's got a recruiting update on HailVarsity.com. He's got it up on his phone right now. You should pull it up on your phone and start reading it. Plenty more coming. We've got Nebraska basketball tomorrow, Saturday, against Iowa in a game that they just really can't afford to lose. Jacob Padilla and I will have coverage on that. We'll be on the radio Friday afternoon. And, yeah, we'll have plenty of stuff for you to take in.
Should be a commitment tomorrow night.
Ooh. Going on the record?
I'll go on the record with that. Who? I mean, we know that Cam Jones is announcing tomorrow at 6:30. So his finalists are Baylor, Ole Miss, and Nebraska. I feel good about Nebraska still.
Oh, man. How can you be like
that's an interesting top three right there.
That's
yes. That is not lost on me.
National championship winning coach, Baylor, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I feel like one of those.
I don't know.
And yes, national championship winning coach.
I'm just going to let that slide because UCF people are sensitive.
If Central Florida gets into the NCAA tournament, which they are apparently still in consideration for, according to a couple people, I'm curious if they get in and lose in like the first round or something, if they claim like a Final Four berth.
Probably. Yeah. It's about the same as what they're doing with this national championship mess.
Oh, we're going to end it on that note before we piss any more people off. We'll be back next week with linebackers and defensive line. Until then, keep it on HailVarsity.com. I'm Derek. That's Greg. This is Views, and we will talk to you next week.